Is this embarrassing? Yes. Is it awkward? Yes.
No, bitch, it wasn't awkward until you made it awkward by saying awkward.
Ladies and gentlemen,
awkwardly
social podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Awkwardly Social Podcast. My name is Jose Chavez. Thank you so much for downloading this episode. Hi, how the fudge are you? I was debating how to start this because I've been taking notes. Every now and then I get a recommendation from somebody who listens, but this is more based off of how I've been performing my stand-up lately. I've always been the kind of guy who prides himself in terms of how he speaks, because I was always convinced, you know, I was like, I'm going to be a writer. I'm going to be somebody, not dignified, but somebody who at least uses his voice in a good way. And it always results in me attacking myself whenever I, you know, if I do too many pops, stutter, stammer, which is unavoidable in my family. I didn't realize that I come from a family of stammering folk. When my mom or my siblings talk, we all do it. I noticed that my niece does it, and my initial thought was like, wow, that's a weird thing she's got going on, but completely unaware of the fact that it was going on with me. Now, mind you, over the years of editing the podcast, I've noticed that I tend to have to edit out a lot of the things that I end up saying because of the fact that I keep popping and just restarting my sentence over and over again. It's a very Porky the Pig style of speaking, and it's not intentional. It just happens. I mean, just now I did a quick edit, and you guys didn't know. Technology. It's fancy. It's the future is here. I am a little bit focused on how I'm speaking now. It's mostly just because of the fact that I'm wearing the cans, the headphones, and very self-aware. But it's also because of the fact that I've been reviewing my stand-up lately. I got some good advice from a couple of comics saying, even if you don't post it online, it's just for yourself. It's to study yourself. I'm so aware of my little tics and my behavior. And it's always hard to see that amongst yourself. Like when you see a character, a Christopher Walken or somebody, you learn their mannerisms, the way that they hold their hands, the way that they use their body to speak, their tone, their pacing, everything about it is very much a parody. It's an impression. So it's easy to do something like that. I have had people try to imitate me, and they say the word like a lot and stutter a little bit, which has been, and it doesn't really hurt or anything like that. But I, you know, it's when somebody else does it, I think to myself, wow, you know, sometimes I internally tell myself, I don't, you know, this is a weird thing I don't like about myself, but it's fine. I didn't realize how prominent it was. So I am working on that. So the two people that wrote me saying that I say too much, fuck you. Whatever. No, it wasn't anything like that. It was a very lovely email. It just had a bit of a criticism, which is fine. I have welcomed it in the past, asking if there's any suggestions for the podcast. I just didn't realize they were going to suggest that I stutter less. And then there was a link to recommend me to. It might have just been an ad for how to deal with a stutter or a stammer. I don't know, but they try to recommend me to somebody that is in the area. It's like a speech therapist. I suppose I should look into that at some point, but I'm good. I think I'm getting by just fine when I'm in the right zone, which is not currently. I had a weird, what is it called? A sleep paralysis episode. It wasn't just an episode. It was like a Netflix version of episodes. I mean, they like all the episodes were released in one night. It was over 3 hours worth of sleep paralysis content, which is pretty much going to be the theme or the focus of today's episode, because it was such a long, crazy situation. Now, those of you who haven't experienced sleep paralysis, good for you. When it happens, it's going to be hard in the moment to sort of accept it, because it's going to seem really supernatural or unnatural. But, you know, especially if you haven't experienced it yet, essentially what happens is your brain is still in sleep mode, or is no longer in sleep mode, even though your body is. So your body thinks that you're still asleep. So you're like in this weird sort of midway state between being fully conscious and subconscious, and you can't wake up your body because your body, when you fall asleep, releases, I should have done research, but I know it releases something in your, like, chemical, essentially it stops your body from imitating what you're doing in your dream. Like, you know, when you, somebody sleep talks or sleepwalks, your body is preventing that. So that way you don't move around and toss and turn. If you're fighting somebody in your dream, you don't start punching the air in real life. And when you wake up, your body still feels that. It's still stable. It's still paralyzing your body, so that way you don't, you know, hurt yourself. But then you're in this very vulnerable state, and you cannot move. You can't really do much. And there's this thing that happens where you, like, see things, patterns, demons sitting on your chest, that kind of stuff. It's a very, essentially, if you watch The Haunting of Hill House, that you see one of the characters dealing with that all the time. But it's somewhere along those lines. The one that I had was very weird because of the fact that I was one moment just kind of waking up, and I got up because I was having a little bit of heartburn. When I laid down, it kicked in almost immediately, and I was extremely exhausted. I checked my Fitbit the next day. It said that I was asleep the whole time. But at the same time, like, I kept being sort of stuck. What would happen is every now and then I would come out of the paralysis so I could reposition my body. But then weird things would happen. I felt somebody smacking my leg and grabbing my ass, which those two things really just sort of bother me. And I know that happens from time to time in my dreams, where, not in my dreams, but like when you sleep ass out, if you sleep with a window open or the AC on and your body's freezing, you're gonna have a nightmare, something that forces you to try to wake up. Like, certain conditions will your body will have a nightmare to adjust those things. And I was sleeping kind of ass out, so maybe I was cold and I was trying to wake myself up, but again, sleep paralysis kind of kicked in. And it was this weird thing. There was somebody standing over me, watching me. At one point, I looked out, and in the living room, I could see it, like, my eyes open, and I darted out to the living room, and there's another me standing there. And that was disturbing as hell. But the thing about my dreams, which I've, when I'm in a nightmare, it's a free movie, so I enjoy it. I'm not really scared. Like, it's a safe kind of scare where, yeah, somebody's trying to kill me, or I'm witnessing zombies attack, but it's fun because I know it's not real. So I'm able to enjoy it and get lost in the world of it. And it's totally fine because I wake up and it's just like, wow, I wish that was an actual movie that I experienced. Because actual horror films, even if they have that startle aspect where shit just jumps out and they like to startle you, that's not the same as being scared. That's just, you know, somebody surprising you. I'm not that, you know, I don't really dig that. I watch the movies, but they don't genuinely scare me. My nightmares don't really genuinely scare me. What happened with the sleep paralysis episode genuinely scared the shit out of me. I had to, you know, try to combat it as much as possible. And there was different situations happening. At one point, I was having a conversation with someone who wasn't there. At one point, my cat, who was petting me like the way that she does in real life, suddenly started smacking me and violently attacking me. When I was finally falling asleep, I closed my eyes and there was somebody who was kind of just light chuckling, started laughing harder and harder, and then started laughing and screaming too hard, like it was an agonizing thing. And that disturbed me so much that this was Thursday night. Yesterday I went to Disneyland, and in the evening I watched the movie Aladdin. So I had a day of fun, very exhausting. According to my Fitbit, I got over 20,000 steps, which is good considering the fact that the night before, I essentially only slept 3 hours. So I was very tired, and I knew last night I'm going to fall asleep, and I'm just going to knock out, and I'm going to be in a deep sleep. I did fall asleep, thankfully. I did have one brief sleep paralysis moment. It was very brief. But it was odd. Like I woke up and I couldn't move, but there was nobody around. There's nothing supernatural or weird or creepy or disturbing, no kind of demons or anything. And then all of a sudden somebody walks by and is talking to me. And I don't understand what they're saying, but they are obviously very upset. And you know that creepy feeling you get when you, like, feel like someone's behind you? I'm feeling that the whole time. And I'm just like, I this person doesn't, but they don't know that I'm like, they don't know I'm awake, essentially. And that's what I've convinced myself. Like, this person is talking, they're monologuing like a supervillain, and I'm trying to act like I'm asleep so I can know when to attack. I start screaming, calling for help. I start doing all this other stuff. My thought was I was going to scare him by jumping up and making so much noise and freaking him out so much that he was going to have no choice but to run away. And everything I did was not out loud. Like, everything that I did was in my head. I thought I was chasing him. I thought I was doing stuff. But at the same time, I was very aware of the fact that I had not left the bed. So everything my body wanted to do, it didn't actually. And I was just like, oh my God, this guy's going to like murder us. Like, he's here to finish whatever job he started. And then I blink and I'm now in a dream, which is fine. Nothing crazy happens. When I wake up, when I finally start the day, I see him walking out and I sit up real aggressively. And it's the, it's like I woke up. Or at least I sat up before my dream fully ended. And the guy was leaving. When I sat up, suddenly the sun was out and he was no longer there. But it happened so quickly. And I woke up so defensive this morning. Like my adrenaline kicked in so immediately. It's like waking up in the middle of the night to like a natural disaster, like a hurricane or an earthquake. I'm trying to make this as general as possible because I know not everybody that listens is in an earthquake zone, but something happens and you are forced to be awake and you immediately have to deal with something. And it was such a shell shock to me that I woke up ready to fight and there was nobody there. I checked and went around. And I think part of it stems from the fact that when I was falling asleep in the night, I was thinking, did I lock the door? But I didn't check. I did lock it, but rather than going back and double checking, I think that I must have triggered it by thinking about the fact whether or not, you know, the door was locked, if somebody could just come in if they wanted to. And I understand like the mentality of somebody who's very OCD, where they have to go back and double check things. Like, I do that with my doors. I check them when they're to see if they're locked or not. And that confused me so much that I had that moment, because at this point the sun's already up. And I'm already I'm checking the locks again, like just in case anyone tries to come in during the day. I go out, grab myself breakfast. I come back, and I start setting up the podcast equipment. I realize the door is unlocked, so now I'm like, okay, I have to make sure that tonight I definitely double check the door because I want to get a good night's sleep. I need that. I need the sleep. I need the nap. I'm trying to reprogram my body to go to sleep a little bit earlier because I'm waking up a lot earlier. But then I'm falling asleep halfway through the day. Very, very few production gigs in the last couple weeks. So I've been getting more sleep during the daytime, but that's just making the evenings way harder to fall asleep. So I'm essentially doing what parents do when they're new parents and they want to regulate their child's sleep. Like, I'm trying to keep myself as awake as possible during the day. Thankfully, I went to Disneyland yesterday, which was a hell of a lot of fun. I went with a group of people that I did not know. I knew two people. One kind of met her through Danny Fernandez. It was Danny Fernandez's birthday, who was on this podcast recently. If the name sounds familiar, just check out Hyper RPG. She does a lot of she hosts a lot of panels at conventions like Comic-Con, and she voiced herself in the most recent Wreck-It Ralph film. So she's, definitely, she's really awesome. We were celebrating her birthday. We went out. It was her friends. And my anxiety kicked in initially because of the fact that usually whenever I'm around a new group of people, I'm quiet and it takes me a moment to process. And that definitely came across. And then I was in my head too much. And this is one of those things that, again, I constantly try to practice what I preach because I am so full of anxiety, and it is so easy to just say, I'm not comfortable in this situation, so I'm just going to keep to myself, which is what I always did as a kid. And now I'm doing a lot better where I'm being very just going for it. Like, I always talk about how comedy on stage is easy because that's because everyone's down there and everyone's quiet. And when that show host energy kind of kicks in, it makes it a lot easier, just a stand-up comic thing. And it's hard in it's hard in real life because of the fact that now I have to socialize with people. And when I'm a comic, I get a little roasty. I roast people a bit, but that's because I'm doing the crowd work. So I can't do that to these strangers, even though I ended up doing some of it. But I tried my best not to be that guy, just to have like a good energy. And it's a solid, a very active and exhausting effort. So it was a good practice going to a place that usually can trigger anxiety. I mean, I see people walking around with headphones. I had my headphones on me. I always carry headphones on me, so if the anxiety ever kicks in, I just put them on and I'm good to go. And I left them in the truck. I was around strangers. It was a perfect cocktail of things that can trigger me, and I powered through it and had a great time. I left early. I don't think I would have been able to do the whole day doing that, but I had a great time and made some, I would say, good friends. It's always fun when you make friends as an adult, like people that you're genuinely interested in talking to. Because it's like, oh, these are good people. I dig them. I like them. They're likable. They're fun, and they have similar interests. So that's pretty cool. And I'm way better at doing that now as an adult than I was as a kid. So I think a part of me is thankful for the fact that I've grown over the years. Obviously, there's a part of me that wonders, you know, if I had done this earlier, if I had gotten help in terms of being able to do this kind of stuff earlier, where would I be now? But I'm happy with this. I dig it. I had a good time. It's a bit of work, but I'm thankful for the fact that I got to be around other people and have some laughs and make some jokes and have a good time. So that's cool. That energy was pretty awesome. Plus, I had to come home early enough to be able to go on a nice date to go watch the new Aladdin movie, which I liked. I have my reservations. I have some things. I have some complaints. Things that I said I knew was going to happen when Will Smith was going to be the genie. There's this thing that this hero complex that tends to come with certain actors. Denzel Washington and Will Smith always come to mind. Vin Diesel, essentially, like they are the. Even The Rock, which I don't know if I had mentioned him before. But, you know, they're always the badass. They're always the person who's in control of a situation. It's even like a thing that like Adam Sandler does, where if you ever watch any of his films, he always has a great skill. Like he's always amazing at something. Like he's an amazing golfer or he's an amazing athlete. He just can't control his emotions. One, he's kind of a coward and he has to be bullied into it. The other one, he has anger management and he needs to calm down. Or, you know, there's always this thing, but there's a heart of gold scenario. There's actors who do these kinds of characters, and then every now and then they break away from them over time. And Will Smith is always very confident, swag kind of guy, like a very Fresh Prince of Bel-Air kind of energy, where even if the scenario calls for him to be less than fruitful in terms of like, oh, he made a fool of himself, this is another learning experience for him or whatever, he's still kind of like the cool guy, and you know, everything works out for him in the end. When he plays the villain in Suicide Squad, he's still like the likable guy. We're like, you're not really playing a villain. You're just playing a good dad. You're playing a good dad who has a shitty job. You know, like it's like a good guy who does bad things because he needs to. And that I was worried about how he was going to play the genie. He did a great job. I think that I was like, he's going to start rapping at some point. And he did. He did a little beatboxing. Those were the things I was like immediately like, please don't do that thing. And then he did it. But it didn't ruin it because he sang a lot, which I was thankful for. But there's this one thing that cracks me up that is like such a, how could I put this? It's such an old trope for when somebody tries to cool up something. First of all, I'm like a big fan of the original Aladdin film. I'm a big Disney head. I talk about Disneyland all the time. That when they sing the song and he goes, street rat, riff, street rat, riff raff, I don't buy that. it's in the animated movie, it's very sort of like sung out, very long form, and it's not like it's a character, it's a cartoon character. I understand when it's a real person doing it, there's a little bit of awkwardness or embarrassingness to it, or you know, being a little embarrassed by it. This the guy who did it, and I know this was something he was told how to do, he did this thing that always cracks me up when somebody tries to be cool, and it was like street rat, riff raff, I don't buy that, or like very sort of like bounces back and forth like street rat, riff raff. That thing always irks me, like stop trying to be cool, stop trying to do these things that the character doesn't do, like just. And it's a very amusing thing. It's when somebody tries to be really cool at a party, like yeah, we're just having fun. You know, it was so weird to me that he did that in the movie, and I was like, just stop doing that. That's like the please. Luckily, he didn't do that during A Whole New World. If he had, I would have thrown the nearest popcorn to me at the screen and just yelled. In protest, you know, but it I don't know. A Whole New World, it was great, done well. It's a good movie. Enjoy it. Check it out. I'm not a movie critic guy. I don't know. I obviously put too much stock in certain things. Like Game of Thrones just ended, and apparently they're providing grief counseling for people that are having a tough time processing life without this show. And there have been some things that have come out. Like one of the things is, I guess their psychologists have come out saying, like, look, when you lose somebody in your life, somebody who's very important, somebody who's always there, you go through a mourning period. It's perfectly acceptable to mourn a character from a show, you know, because you become so invested in it, even if you don't know the person. It's kind of like when a celebrity dies. Like you, I was like that with Mitch Hedberg, with Greg Giraldo. Like when those two passed, that hit me so hard because these were two guys that I idolized, and a lot of my, what I thought was going to be my energy or my influence for comedy was going to come from them. My writing style was not like them, but they were definitely two people that I took lessons from each of them, that they weren't really trying to teach me, but just things that I was like, these are things that I understand that I can communicate with. And those hit me hard. So I get it. I didn't do any kind of counseling or anything like that. But it did sort of, I'm trying not to be so amused by it. But it is kind of ridiculous that people have to take a class, or not a class, but like a session for that. Look, whatever it takes for you. If you're not a person who's used to death, especially from your favorite characters, I understand that. Sorry if you heard me scratching my head. That was me trying to legitimately process the thought of somebody paying for counseling. Grief counseling is super important. Do it. I just don't get it for the show. It had sort of a rough ending. The landing was, they didn't stick the landing. Moving on. I just recorded an episode earlier this week with Ariel Washington that's going to come out later on next week. It's going to take a bit of editing. There's always this idea that we have about doing an episode, and I know we've mentioned on before that, like, okay, we're just gonna have some drinks and record a podcast. We did that, and it turns out we might have had too much to drink. Best way I could put it is we drank too much so that the end of the episode's a little slurry, just a little bit. So we never really ended the episode. So when I have to re-record an ending for it, just to make sure that we can put the episode out and it doesn't just like taper off, because towards the end it was just incoherent and rambling. And it's always so funny when you are in the moment of drinking, or you're just in that moment, everything is making total sense to you. Everything you're saying is not necessarily logical, but you're understanding the thread or the direction it's going in, and then you double back. I had plenty of time to sober up and head out to a show because we recorded early on of the day. And I did a show, and I had such a fantastic set that I don't know. There was another lesson there, not about like drinking before the show. That's definitely not the lesson, but like the kind of energy you kind of carry with you. And I know that I've been in an argument right before a show, and I have a terrible set. you know, the certain things will just ruin your day, the way that you deliver something. And but I had such a great time with that episode that I think y'all will enjoy it. It just kind of has an ending that needs to be fine-tuned just a little bit, but it's a good one. All right, we're going to go ahead and wrap up this episode, y'all. Thanks so much for listening to this one. Of course, if you guys want to catch me live at a show, check out the website awkwardlysocialcomedy.com. I always update the shows that I have there. Just go to awkwardlysocialcomedy.com. The main page will have some episodes. You can scroll all the way down for past episodes. It also has links to the different platforms where you can catch an episode depending on whatever phone or app you use to stream these episodes. Please help spread the word. Upcoming shows, every second and fourth Wednesday, I'm always at the Dude's Brew in Santa Clarita, hosting it, putting together the lineup. This last one was so amazing. It was a lot of fun. Great crowd, great turnout, so happy with it. Come out. It's a growing show, and it's fun, and I really love bringing comedy to places that typically doesn't have it, and it's, you know, it helps spread the word. I feel like it's a ripple effect where if you can just bring humor everywhere, not just at the places where you expect it to be, like comedy clubs, it makes it better. It makes it for better experiences. But if you want to catch me at an actual comedy club, June 5th, Ha Ha Comedy Club in North Hollywood. July 5th, I'm going to be at the Ice House Comedy Club in Pasadena. The Ontario Improv on July 16th. And then for a private show that's on June 1st, an open mic in Bell. I believe I just added a show in Los Feliz. That one's at a vape shop. I'll post the episode soon or the information soon. But check all that out. Follow me on the social medias at I Am Jose Chavez. Follow me on there. I will try to be more entertaining with that, not just photos of myself. Nobody needs to see this face more than twice a week. But I provide you that service anyhow. Y'all take care. Have a fantastic week. And don't forget to keep life awkward.